Chapter 2. The Marquis. 5 years later, the doctor and his daughter lived in a simple home not far from Soho Square. They lived with Miss Pross, who had been hired by Tellson's Bank to raise Lucy Manette when the girl was young. Miss Pross was now employed by the Manettes, and her job was to look after Miss Manette and her father. Mr. Lorry often visited the Manettes' home. He and the doctor had become friends. Another frequent visitor to the house was Charles Darnay. He was a young French gentleman who had come to England on the same boat with the Manettes 5 years before. Lucy Manette was always pleased to see Mr. Darnay, which even Mr. Lorry could easily tell. In the autumn of 1780, Mr. Darnay traveled back to France. He had urgent business with his uncle, the Marquis of a large estate outside of Paris. When Mr. Darnay arrived at his uncle's estate, he was taken into the house. His uncle was at the dinner table alone and halfway through his meal. Standing at the table, Mr. Darnay asked his uncle, "You left Paris yesterday, sir?"
"Yesterday. And you?"
"I came directly," the young man replied.
"From London?"
"Yes."
"It has been a long time," said the Marquis with a smile.
The smile was not at all pleasant on the Marquis's cruel face.
Uncle, responded the nephew, saddened by the complete lack of love in his uncle's eyes.
"What is this empty life? We, along with all the noble families of France, have treated those below us so poorly. I believe our family's name to be more hated than any name in France. Thus, I use my mother's name, Darnay, rather than carry the hated Evremond."
"Let us hope so," said the Marquis.
"Hate of the high is how the low honor us. Fear and slavery, my friend," he observed, "will keep the dogs obedient to the whip."
"Sir," said the nephew, "we have done wrong. Even in my father's time, we did a world of wrong, injuring every human creature who came between us and our pleasure."
"Have respect when you speak of your father and my brother," said the Marquis.
"My father is dead," answered the nephew. "Now I am bound to a system that I hate, but I have no power within it. My mother, as she lay dying, begged me to try to make up for our wrongs as best I could."
"My friend, I will die carrying on within the system under which I have lived. Why can you not accept your natural place?"
"But you are lost, Monsieur Charles, I see."
"This property and France are lost to me," said the nephew sadly. "I renounce them."
"Are they both yours to renounce? France may be, but is the property?"
"I had no intention, in the words I used, to claim it yet. If it passed to me from you tomorrow, I would abandon it."
"Forgive my curiosity," said his uncle, "but how do you intend to live?"
"I will work."
"In England?"
"Yes. It is also my refuge, where none know of my family's name," said the nephew.
"You know another Frenchman who has found a refuge there? A doctor with a daughter?" asked his uncle.
"Yes."
"Well," said the Marquis, "you are tired. Good night."
Then, to a servant at the door, the Marquis commanded,
"Show my nephew to his room, and light it for him. And burn my nephew in his bed, if you will," he added to himself as his nephew went out.
In the morning, Mr. Darnay was denied the chance to continue his conversation with his uncle. That very night, someone entered the Marquis's bedroom and stabbed him while he slept. All assumed the murderer was urged or hired by the father of a child killed earlier that day in the village by the Marquis's carriage.